As I was searching through the Gospel according to Luke and looking for the passages that are not recorded in the first two Gospel books, Gospel according to Matthew and Gospel according to Mark, I come to the chapter 12, and there I find two verses, verse 47 and verse 48, that apparently are not recorded in either of the first two Gospel books. As an introduction to these two verses, I will read from the same chapter, Luke chapter 12, from the verse number 39. "And this know," says the Lord, "that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Then Peter said unto him, "Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even unto all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." And that servant, this is verse 47 and 48, two verses. "And that servant, which knew not his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." I will read again these verses that are found in the Gospel according to Luke. Verse 47 and 48. And then I will add verse 49. Verse 47. "And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled?" So now, focusing on the verse 47 and the verse 48, I wonder, what is the meaning? It seemed to be a familiar thing that everyone that lives in sin will be rewarded with the punishment, will be judged according to his sins. Everyone that repented of his sins, everyone that turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone that surrendered to the will of God and accepted the redemption and atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be redeemed. What are the differences between the stripes? First of all, we don't want to expect any stripes. We don't want to think, oh well, I better be ignorant because then I will not be beaten with as many stripes. No, that's not the solution, not the choice. What is the difference between the stripes? Who are those that will not know the Master's will and will deserve stripes? And who are the others that will know the will of their master and still deserve the stripes? It seems to me that this verse number 47 is linked to the preceding verses. If you read from this same chapter 39, forgive me, chapter 12 from the verse number 39. And this know that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not have suffered his house to be broken through. So that means if we are on guard, our house will not be broken through. So the Lord says, be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. So why would the Son of Man just wait for that hour when I think not to come? Not necessarily that way, but whenever I think not of his coming, I'm under condemnation. I'm violating the will of the Lord, because he wants me to be aware of my need to be prepared. The Lord commanded me to have a good relationship, to live and walk in the light of his word, to have the fellowship of his spirit, not to neglect his word, not to be shallow in my relationship with the Lord my Savior, neither with my fellow believer. I know it happened quite a few times in this short span of 50 plus years since I started learning the Word of God, studying the meaning of the commandments and the teaching of the New Testament and the explanations in the Old Testament and so on. From time to time I would come to some understanding that I ignored the meaning of some verses for a long time, especially if I was brought up, instructed and trained to believe something other than what is in the scripture. Just recently I had an opportunity that was actually a very enjoyable and blessed time, meeting with one of the elders of a group of believers, one of their teachers, leaders, who used to be one of my fellow pilgrims in our teen years and early 20s. But now, after so many years being separated, I had an opportunity to meet him again, and I was amazed with some wonderful preservation of good manners and good influences that he was brought up as a young believer. He was brought up in these manners and these good customs. But I was also amazed how he refused for years to grow, to examine the scripture, to understand the will of the Lord. He rather kept what he was trained in. I think that's sad. I think that's dangerous. I think that's against the will of the Lord. But he might be ignorant of that. If someday the Lord will reveal that to him, he will be beaten with a few stripes. So I wonder, which are those few stripes? Peter, here in the verse number 41, chapter 12, according to Luke, had the question, is this story or that teaching for all the people or just for the disciples? Is there a difference? Could it be that those that are not the disciples of the Lord are not guilty for living in darkness? Well, impossible. Every man is guilty. Even we that are so often confident that we are walking in the truth and doing the will of the Lord, even we are guilty for our weaknesses, our insufficiencies, our misunderstandings, misapplications, our being quick to judge the others and justify or excuse ourselves. The Lord answered to Peter, who is then that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So it seemed obvious to me that this is that servant, the servant who has given the oversight, the duty and the opportunity to take care of his fellow believers. He is a minister. He is a pastor. He is a servant of the Lord. And yet, somehow, he turned away from the Lord and neglected his duty. He violated the will of the Lord. He is now drunken in sin. So perhaps I have the first half of the answer. Many stripes is everlasting punishment that is reserved for those that profess or claim to be the servants of the Lord, and yet, according to their deeds, they are judged as unbelievers. So, perhaps that's half or first half of the answer. Now, what is the other half? Verse 48. He that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Looking at this verse 48, I see that there is no excuse. Ignorance is not justification. So, whether we know the will of the Lord, or we do not know the will of the Lord, we are going to get some stripes for trespassing, transgressing, or simply omitting to do his will. So, I would like to look for other passages where that ignorance has been mentioned, and how was the ignorance treated from the beginning or from the times of old. I turn to the old books of law, because through the law cometh the knowledge or the awareness of sin. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 5, from the verse 17, I read, "And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred, and wisted not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord." A very similar passage I find in the book of Numbers, chapter 15, from the verse number 27 to the verse number 29. And then something more than what I read in Leviticus 5, 17 through 19. In Numbers 15, verse 30 and on, "But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him." If I apply these verses, or somehow link these verses to the passage that I read in Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, verses 47 and 48, it looks like we are in a very, very difficult situation. I know the will of the Lord. I am a minister of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or I am simply a believer. I know the will of the Lord, and yet, in so many things I failed. I did not exactly fulfill his will. And even if I did everything, the Lord said, when you do everything that I command unto you, you should say we are unprofitable servants. We give back to our master far less than what he has given us. So what is his profit of us? We are unprofitable servants. And his will is much more than I can ever do. So I'm in a poor shape. I am in a terrible predicament if I stop here. But we read in the Numbers and also in Leviticus that those that sin in ignorance shall bring an offering. So for those that sinned in ignorance and then they received the knowledge of the truth of the gospel, they repented, they received the offering that the Lord has offered for them, and now they are redeemed, and their ignorance sin is forgiven, as also Paul the Apostle says to Timothy in 1st Epistle to Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. 1st Timothy chapter 1 verse 13, the Apostle Paul is writing, "I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." But Paul did hear the gospel. He observed Christian living. I mean Saul of Tarsus. He heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible that he could live in those days and not know anything of that gospel. He deliberately refused to believe. He rejected the gospel truth for so long until finally he was knocked down, smashed by that light that was greater than the sunshine. And he heard the voice, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul was shaking, he was shocked, he was frightened to death. And he said, "Lord, who art thou?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And instantly Saul changed his manners, his behavior, because he was afraid. And he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said, "What to do? Meet those Christians, not as persecutor, but as one that is seeking salvation." And so Saul did that, and he received a new name, Paul. And he was called to be an apostle of the Gentiles. A great calling. But he says he did it in ignorance. What does that mean? Everyone who refused to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is ignorant. He lacks the knowledge, the understanding, how awful, how terrible, and how just is the judgment of God against every sin. But some of the Pharisees, some of the Sadducees, some of the scribes and lawyers realized that Jesus Christ is from God, and that his teaching is the teaching of God's Spirit. And they could not deny that the word of this Jesus of Nazareth is actually a message from the Almighty. But they decided, "No, we are not going to believe that." And the Lord said to them, "Every sin is forgivable if the people repent, of course. If they turn away from sin and turn to the Lord with confession, with repentance. But the sin, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is never going to be forgiven." So if someone clearly can see and understand what the will of the Lord is, and that person decides to be an enemy, it's a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now how could they have known the will of the Lord and not accept it, not believe it? Or how could we, believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, fail to do His will and just say, "I don't feel like that. Oh, I just cannot." Which means, I don't want to. In this same gospel according to Luke, in chapter 19, starting with the verse number 12, we read the story about the 10 pounds. "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, 'Occupy till I come.'" And then verse 14 says, "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.'" And then we have, the story goes on to tell us about the first three servants, one that made 10 pounds and the other one 5, and the third one that was hiding it until the master came, and so on. But then at the end of the story, in the verse number 47, same chapter, the Lord says, "But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." So that looks like in Leviticus and Numbers, the person that sinned presumptuously that reproached God himself, that openly rebels against the will of the Lord and remain in that rebellion. So perhaps we are not in such a difficult position before the Lord if we just don't know. We are ignorant. We never know everything. The scripture is like a deep well that will never run dry. There is always more to learn. So perhaps tomorrow something will be revealed to us that we have not understood yet. So just make sure that we don't know what is the will of the Lord, and we will be fairly safe. No, we won't. We will be beaten with few stripes. Which are the few stripes? Well, in the example of Saul of Tarsus being transformed into Paul the Apostle, the few stripes are repentance, acknowledgement of the Lord's will and righteousness and justice and mercy and acknowledgement of our need for his mercy and grace, his salvation in Christ Jesus. In the verses that we read in Numbers and Leviticus, it's an offering. So our hope, our trust, our confidence, our only opportunity to be delivered from what we deserve is our offering, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, the redemption of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the Gospel according to Mark, in chapter 10, first part of this chapter, gives me some interesting insight into the ignorance of those that know the Word of God, of those that profess to be true believers in the Scriptures. The Lord arose from one place, and he comes into the coasts of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resorted unto him again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and ask him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. Why would they tempt him? Because they perceived in his teaching there is no room for their self-will and hypocrisy. There is no room for their stubbornness. According to the Lord's teaching, we must surrender to his will. We must fear the Lord God and obey his will from the heart. We must realize that his will is not oppression, but salvation. That his commandments are for our good. And, of course, his honor. Imagine, the Almighty God is honored to do something good to us. Of course, there is no greater honor than to do his will. And when we do his will, we honor him. And it's a great honor for us that deserve no honor at all. So the Pharisees are tempting him, and the Lord said, what did Moses command you? What do you know already? If you believe and keep what you know, you have a reason to believe or expect that the Lord will reveal to you more. So they said, Moses suffered, permitted to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away, to divorce a wife, just because I want it. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote to you this precept. Now, we should not be mistaken that because of the hardness of their heart, Moses wrote something to them that God did not command. No, what Moses wrote to them, to give the wife a bill of divorcement or an explanation why I want to divorce my wife. I must have a legitimate reason. Document that. Moses did not command that against the will of the Lord. It was the will of the Lord. But the Lord Jesus Christ here plainly explained why this commandment was given. For the hardness of your heart. This is the commandment for transgressors. This is the commandment to limit existing sin, not to justify sinning and sinning again. And then the Lord says, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. What did the Lord explain here? Pharisees said, nowhere in the law we find the commandment that would forbid divorcement. The Lord Jesus Christ said, nowhere in the law you find a commandment that will justify divorce, that will say, it's all right, you can get divorced as many times as you want to, or at least once. No. What else is the Lord explaining here in these verses that I just read? That's Mark chapter 10, first few verses. He explained that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is teaching the gospel by his words, by his deeds, by his manners, by his way of living. Everything that he did is a teaching. And because we do not follow his teachings, we don't understand them. And because we don't understand them, we have difficulty discerning what of his teaching is only for himself and what is for all of us that follow him. What is the teaching that he is the only sacrifice? And what are the other teachings that tell us we must be like him? Otherwise, we are not on the path of salvation. So as well, the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, as God was creating the world, he gave the commandments. When he created the Garden of Eden, it was a commandment to man that will be created just a little bit later. And that commandment is to be careful to use it in the way and manner as the Lord has prescribed. And when the Lord said, the two shall be one, he did not give them a blank book of divorcement. So the Lord is teaching by modeling a family. Creating a marriage, he gave us an example. That's godly marriage, no divorce. Why these Hebrews, these Pharisees, did not understand that commandment? Because they did not seek to understand God's commandment. They were seeking their own will. That's our problem. And we are ignorant because we don't want to know. That kind of ignorance is condemned by the Lord. And talking about that, I just remember another thing. Just recently, I heard something that I cannot prove or disprove, that there was a group of believers somewhere in Europe that had some dispute, some disagreement with their elders, their leaders, their teachers. They did a few things that the elders were not pleased with. And then later on, they wonder how they somehow appease those elders and have the elders inclined to come and conduct some baptismal services upon the new converts and so on. And the elders, supposedly, according to what I have heard, and again, I say I cannot prove nor disprove that, it was just a story that was told to me, the elders demanded that this group of believers, these believers, demonstrate or manifest their change of heart by doing a few things that the elders did demand from them, in order for the elders to come and continue doing business for this group of believers. Now, there are quite a few things that are wrong here, quite a few things that are not biblical here, but I'm not going to get into a lengthy explanation about that. But let me say this. Among the demands of the elders was included this demand, that all of them must be shaven, no growing beards. Such a flagrant violation of the will of God. When God created man, did he create the man shaven? Or when he placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, did God give him a razor and said, here, Adam, before you come to work in the morning, you shave to be very neat? Of course not. It's a godless custom. It's a Gentile custom, idolatrous custom. God has made difference between man's face and woman's face. And other differences, of course, but this is one of them. He has a purpose in that. And these elders that are used to that Gentile style, godless style, they're demanding that godless style be perpetuated. Is that ignorance? Is that intentional ignorance? One way or another, they're going to be beaten with some stripes. I was beaten with a few stripes too, when I realized that for years, because I belonged to the same movement, same group, and was raised to be shaven, not to have my beard. In the same group where it was forbidden for the sisters to dye their hair, change the color, to shave or model their eyebrows or eyelashes. And yet, it was all right, as a matter of fact, as a standard to shave man's face. And these believers, and some of them are still in my company, or at least we associate more or less, and they stubbornly refuse. Such a little thing, a small thing that is so obvious. God has created man in His own image, and God has created man in the way He created him, for a purpose. Oh, now we know better, because we are trained in the Gentile, godless style. I just could not resist linking this to the preceding passage. All of this would be incomplete if we make our own judgment and limit God's mercy and grace, which we are so prone and so inclined to do when we are bitter against someone who offended us, and we forget that they actually offend the Lord, not us. What did the Lord say to Samuel? They have not rejected you, Samuel. They rejected me, their Lord, not to be their king. And they want to have a king like the nations around them. Idolatrous nations. So easily the people that have the name, the people of God, turn against the Lord. But this moment, this is the point. They have not rejected Samuel. Samuel was a good judge. They loved him. They respected him. His sons messed up the whole situation. But when we are bitter, when we are offended, we might be tempted to say, oh, that's a sin unto death. It will never be forgiven to him. He offended God so awfully because he offended me. How stupid. How foolish. Is that not the attitude of the older son in the story of two prodigals? Let's look into the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 and few verses following. Son of man, this is the Lord talking to the prophet. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, and thou hast delivered thy soul. I think the Lord knew that we are very prone to ignore his warnings and his teachings in the books of the prophets and the other books of the scripture. So he gave us additional passage in Ezekiel chapter 33. And I will read only a few verses from the verse number 12. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous, thou shalt surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin, and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. So what is the answer? Whenever we live in Christ, we are safe. We are forgiven. We are acceptable to the Father. We are ready for service here and for glories there. Whenever we live in sin, we are on the way to death and perdition. In Christ, there is no sin. But we cannot say that we sin not. So whenever the Lord revealed to us that something is wrong, we should make the correction. Better yet, call upon the name of the Lord and He will make correction. So somebody can say, well then, how many times can they sin and the Lord will forgive them? That's not our business. We better ask how many times I sin and I still want to be forgiven. May the Lord be gracious unto us and may we always be forgiven. And the Lord said, if ye forgive not, neither shall the Father forgive you. So does that mean we forgive everything to everybody and then we do whatever we want and commit sin and we are forgiven? Not at all. That's again rebellion and hypocrisy. So what is the way of salvation? Strive to serve the Lord. Be faithful. Be zealous. And then repent. And continue to serve the Lord better. And repent again. And so, trusting in the mercy and grace of our Lord. And acknowledging that whenever we do something that is pleasing to the Father, that's the Spirit of Christ working in us. His grace is working in us. In spite of us. Not because of us. And everyone that humbled himself shall be exalted. When we humbled ourselves in true repentance, the Lord exalted us from death to life and gave us mercy and grace to be the children of the Most High. Praise the Lord.